Free, this is lecture 20. Free is full of responsibility. Free is full of responsibility. Before I knew me, I could do most anything. Before I knew me, I could do most anything. I could be careless. I could be exacting. I could be genius. I could be failure. I could be master. I could be slave. Now, once I got to know me, there was no slave. There was no insignificant person. There was no failure. There was no activity of that nature at all. There was only success. There was only a master. There was only a genius. There was only God at work. Now, this is how I see each of you. This is how I see each of you as God at work. You are God, and you are at work, and you are just fantastic. You are just glorious. You are doing everything in a beautiful, fantastic way, in a beautiful, caring way, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Now, I'll be a picky person right here for a second. Now, we have this cloth here that was in the bathroom, and it has a special little, thank you, a special little red ribbon sewed on it here. Now, when the claws were made, and we don't point any fingers even though we know where the aiming, well, before they were made, we knew that there were 11 people here, right? Okay. Now, one person was me, you didn't have to be concerned with, right? One person was Ellen, you didn't have to be concerned with. One person was Inga, you didn't have to be concerned with. One person was Button and Love and the cats, you didn't have to be concerned about. And there was somebody else too. Let's see. Oh, yes, Sylvia, the abbot. The abbot, you didn't have to be concerned about her, did you? Okay, so how many did you have to be concerned about? How many is the number of, let's see, the four of us less 11? How many is that? That's seven, right? Now, am I miscounting someplace? That's seven. Okay, so seven of these towels, we had to make a notification to let people know what towel was theirs so they could enjoy their own towel, right? Now, how many of the towels were given out by color to the guests, to our monks? None, right? They were all given out with a little ribbon on it. Each one had their own colored ribbon, right?
The stitches.
The colored stitches. Okay. Jerome, what color are your stitches?
He does not know.
I'm sorry?
He does not know.
Well, someone should tell him. Ingeborg, run out and get Jerome's and show him what color his stitches are. Jerome, you stay here. She'll bring you your towel. All right. Christina, as soon as you can get done playing with the dog there, what color are your stitches?
Green.
Green? And Stefan, what color are your stitches?
Dark blue.
And Jean, what color are your stitches?
Dark brown.
And Anita, what color are your stitches?
I have no color.
You have a color of cloth.
Yes.
What color is your cloth?
So peachy.
I'm sorry?
So peachy.
Peachy, okay. And Irene, what color are your stitches?
Bright white.
White?
Mm-hmm.
And Gertrude, what color are yours?
I brought two with me, one for Cheryl and one for me.
You brought your own colors with you?
Yes.
And so...
this on the left side,
There must be another one with a sign like this.
That's this here?
No, this is an older one.
Okay. the reason that I'm making a point of this, you can give it to the person it belongs to and they can take it out when they're ready. The reason I'm making a point of this is that these are very simple things. They're very simple things and they don't take a lot of intelligence to work with it. However, if you don't do it, It's just as serious. Now, it is just as serious to drive a car and not have the brakes work as it is to have a car and not use the brakes. If you drive a car without the brakes and you go rushing down a hill and hit a tree, you hit a tree very much the way you would hit a tree if you drove down the hill and didn't use the brakes and hit the tree, right? So one, you would not be using your intelligence of using your brake, and the other, you would not be using your intelligence of driving a car which had bad brakes or no brakes. So which one is the more serious offense? Well, there is no more serious or less serious offense. Each offense is very serious because you could have hit a person. You could have hit a dog. You could have hit a house. You could have hit a car. You could have hit anything. And so you see, the offense in itself is neither wrong nor right. It's just not the thing to do. You don't want to put yourself in harm's way or put anyone else in harm's way. So I say, please pay attention. Free is full of responsibility. Freedom is full of responsibility. You have the responsibility to do all these things by yourself. You see, when you are a child, you have a parent or an adult taking care of you. And when you have an adult taking care of you, then you don't have the responsibility yet. But when you are a child and your parent or adult sends you away and says, go to school, then you now have a responsibility to walk on the sidewalk. You have a responsibility to look both ways when you cross the street. Not only look both ways, but if there's a car coming, don't walk. You have the responsibility. You have the responsibility to get to school on time, not to dawdle along the way. You have the responsibility to be alert in school and learn all the things. Jerome is an absolute genius. He is an absolute genius. He should get 100% on every test, just like his sister, Sabrina. She should have 100% on every test because they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant, and that's all we will ever know about them, is that they're brilliant. Okay. Now, they have the responsibility to fulfill their brilliance and be a genius. They have the responsibility to leave the school when the bell rings and go home. They have the responsibility to get home by the shortest route possible and to be careful with cars and street. Jerome likes to use the back way of some different houses to come through because it's just a fun place to run and it's permissible. And now, when Jerome comes home, he announces that he's home if Gertrude or his father are there, and says that he's home and announces that with responsibility. Then the responsibility ceases to be his, except he has the responsibility to follow what his father or what Gertrude say to him. But he does not have the freedom to make up his own decisions on responsibility. Up to that time, he was deciding for himself whether he would leave immediately or a second later or a second before or whatever. Now he has to pay attention. Learning responsibility from an early age in life is extremely important. If Jerome were to walk across the street and not look and be injured by a car, whose fault would that be? It's the fault of his mother, the father, of his grandmother. It's the fault of the responsible adults in his life who did not teach him the responsibility to look both ways and not to cross the street if there were any car nearby. Follow me? And if the parents did their job well, if the responsible people did their job well, he would learn that. But if they don't do their job well, then he will not do it. Teachers in school oftentimes complain that it's not them that is the poor being, it's the student. But it's the teacher. The teacher doesn't recognize that the student isn't understanding, isn't getting it. The teacher doesn't take the time, especially, to be with the student. I can't be with every... What? What? Teacher, you're saying you can't be with every student? Then you can't be a teacher. It's not every student who needs your attention. It's maybe one or two who are having difficulty that need your attention. And those are the ones you don't have to, I can't be with every student. You've heard that. You've heard teachers who say, I can't be with every student. If they're so stupid that they don't want to learn, their parents don't help them, I can't be with them. You heard that? That's a very poor remark. It only means that the teacher is not alert to which students can get along without extra help and which students need extra help. The teacher could send the other students out during recess time and keep the special students in and say, you students, you deserve to have my special time. And I'm going to give you my special time because I want you to be happy with your subject. I want you to enjoy it. She doesn't say, you're not doing good in your class and you're going to stay in here in recess time because you don't deserve to have any fun. And, of course, what are the students going to do? They're going to go, and they will close their ears and not hear a thing. But when the teacher says to them, you are special. You are having my special time because I love you and I want you to enjoy the class. Not that you learn something, but you enjoy the class and you enjoy the time you're in my class here. And I've been telling jokes and stuff and you haven't been hearing them. And I want you to enjoy my class. And so she takes the time. And they learn. Now, how many teachers do you know like this? Relatively few, unfortunately. But it's because they haven't been taught that way. The teacher has been taught that they must teach information, and it's not a matter that they teach students. The schools that teach students have the most beautiful, most intellectually acute schools in the world. The schools that teach information are an academic this mystery of some sort. It's unfortunate. But you see, this is what we must do. I play the role of a teacher here on campus, and this is a school. You have come to a school. You didn't come to a party here, although we have a party every time we can have one. But this is a school. And as a school, someone has to be aware of all of your successes and all of your failures. And I compliment your successes often, but you don't hear me. You don't hear me because it is so common to you. But you do hear me when I tell you of areas to improve. And you do hear that. And when you hear it, then you say, you're always picking on me. You're always picking. You don't hear when I say good things about you, and I say a lot of them. And I'll let it at that. Before I knew me, I could do most anything. Before I knew who I was, I could do most anything and be irresponsible about it. Now that I know my divinity, now that I know who I really am, I cannot be an irresponsible person because I know that my word is the power by which I bring forth in my experience all of the things that I experience. My word is the power by which I bring forth all in my experience that I experience. My word is a power by which I bring forth whatever I have. And it's important. It's a responsibility to speak my word in a meaningful, beneficial way to me. I have not the privilege of saying, I don't like you. I hate you. I think you're terrible. I don't ever want to see you again. I have not the opportunity, the privilege to say that, because that is so terrible. That's so powerful. I have only the privilege of saying, I like you. You're wonderful. I enjoy your company. Every time I'm around you, I feel good. What happens when you say that? You put a cause in motion, and if that weren't the cause before, it is now. And it's the only cause that you recognize, and you bring that experience forth in your life. Now, everything that I'm saying to you sounds so naive, so innocent, so childlike. Well, that's where our consciousness is, on this innocent, childlike level. And if we understand it on this innocent, childlike level, we can do anything. We can achieve anything. We can arrive at any height of blessedness, any height of wonder and magic on this beautiful pathway of life we're taking. Now I understand who I am, and I must be who I am. See, now I understand who I am, and I must be who I am. I cannot be anyone else other than the divine person that I am. I must at all times speak loving. I must at all times speak gentle. I must at all times speak wise and intelligent things. That is part of the game. That's the game I'm playing. That's the game you're playing. That's the game all the world is playing. See, the world is not just starting out. The world knows all these things, but we don't judge the world. We only speak our word ourselves. We don't judge ourselves either. We only speak our word. Now I understand who I am, and I must be who I am. You see? Now I understand who I am, and I must be who I am. There's no other way around it. As we once said, the bigger a person is in their spiritual growth, the harder they fall if they make the slightest mistake. Ooh, that's tough, huh? Make the slightest mistake, you just fall terrible. No. One thing that's very important, you never speak back to your teacher. You never try to make excuses for anything you've done. All you do is just take the information and act on it. Why in the living hell do you want to go through the same experience again? If I say you did this incorrectly, and then you want to explain why you did it incorrectly, you're living it again. And then if I say that's all, then you say it again, and because you want to get across the point that you didn't do it maliciously or any other way. Hey, I know you didn't. I know you didn't do anything maliciously. I know that you did it stupidly. That's just as bad as maliciously. But I know you did it stupidly, and I know that if you had paid attention, you wouldn't have done that. So, everybody, I didn't check the sink out in the Swimex. I wonder what I would have found there. Would I have found a dry sink out there? Anyone was the last user? John, were you the last user out there in the Swimex?
I can't believe I was.
Did you use the sink?
No.
You did?
I did not use the sink.
You did not? Okay. So if there's water in the sink, it wouldn't have been your drippings from the same water, huh? That's very interesting. But now, you see, he didn't say that he left the water in the sink. He just said he didn't use the sink. Are you responsible for everything in your world? If you walk by a sink, are you responsible to dry it, even though you didn't use it at all?
Huh.
Yes, we are. We are. It took me 7 minutes to walk around this house and pick up 75 poops and see them and find them and pick them up. 7 minutes. It took me 2.5 minutes to walk through the house by every sink, dry it out, clean it out, hang up the cloth nicely, and then to go into the bathroom and use the bathroom, and then to come in here and talk to you about it all. You see, it's not a matter of time. We don't say it's a matter of time. And then, as I walked in, before I went out to pick up the doggy droppings, I remembered that Ellen said we didn't put the dollar prayer on the phone, so I took a minute and put that on there. Or maybe it was 3 or 4 minutes. But I put that on it. Now, was it okay? Okay. A perfect dollar healing prayer, and it was something that will be touching for many people. And it's a simple one, not very complex, not with a lot of material in it, but just a good, simple healing prayer. Now, all these things. Plus, I get ready to give you the lecture. I go over here and I go over there and I do this and I do that. You can do it too. But if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, what are you supposed to be doing from whatever time it is to whatever time? What are you supposed to be doing from 3:30 to 4? And are you introspecting?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you in the bathroom? Or are you outside? Are you walking around? Are you, and all those things could be introspection. But are you introspecting? Do you acknowledge each other as you walk around? Do you acknowledge me? When I say hi to you, do you say hi to me? And you're wise if you don't. Because you are on introspection and you're in your own private world. And if you choose to walk around, you may do so. If you want to sit, you can do so. Sitting, of course, is the most effective way to do it if you stay awake. But the big thing is you want to be master of yourself. Be master of yourself under all circumstances. Now, this is what we teach here. This is what we share. Now from 5 to 5:30, again, it is silent introspection. Now, of that 5 to 5:30, you're going to walk up to the house. You're going to prepare dinner. You're going to go in and you're going to monkey around with this and that and the other thing. And how much of that time will you actually be spending in introspection? Interesting, isn't it? Now, I often let you off early from the lecture, maybe 3-4 minutes off early. That's enough time for you to leap to your feet, dash to where you're going, get it done, and then be ready for the next. And if not, then you just go and do it. But what I'm trying to say to you is, freedom is full of responsibility. And you have the responsibility to follow the program that we offer you here. Now, a lot of times you get the feeling that since you're only paying $2,000 each for the program, that that's not very much money. And that's not a very big investment. And so therefore, what the heck, you know, if I don't follow the program, it's okay. I'm just, you know, vacationing. I'm just doing this or doing that. Don't think that. Don't ever think that. I would like it, not because of who I am or what I am or anything, but because of where we are. I would like each of us, when we come to the monastery here, to be so dedicated to whatever the program is that it is just almost sacrosanct with us to follow it to the degree that it can be followed. And I sometimes say to you, now, I quickly have made over these programs and done these things, and I sometimes don't take into consideration the walking time that you must have from here to there. But you can do that while you're meditating. You can do that while you're introspecting. And I don't take into consideration sometimes the need to go to the bathroom and other things. But I ask you, please tell me, is there anything we can improve on the program? Don't say that we can't have things, but what should we include in the program that I didn't include? And there was a time that I had you singing before I had you not singing. What was it? 7:30 we did something, and then at 7 o'clock we did something, and I had to rearrange that. But those are just normal little things that happen, and it's just a matter of seeing what's your attitude about it. I want you to be fully responsible for everything you do in every beautiful way, because you're beautiful people. Now, before I knew me, I could do almost anything. Now I understand who I am, and I must be who I am. I have no excuse from not being the master that I am. I have no excuse for not following the truth that I know. This is for all of us. There is no longer a choice. There is only one way I can go. Now, what is the way that I can go, the only one way I can go? The only one way I can go is to listen within. You don't listen to Herb. Herb merely is a catalyst that gets you going a little bit. But for the real meat of your life, you listen within. And you listen to the divinity within you. You listen to God in you. You listen to the absolute in you. You listen to all the allness in you. And you act upon it. And when you act upon it, what do you come up with? What do you come up with when there's only one choice and there's only one way to go? What do you come up with? You come up with your highest good. You come up with that which is going to make your life richer and fuller and more meaningful. It's going to give you more pizzazz. It's going to give you more wonderment in your life. Now, oftentimes the question comes up, do we want to have any other people here? We have a cadre of people here who are very effective and efficient and wonderful, and we understand each other. There's a few more too. We understand each other, and we have a beautiful program. We respect each other 100%. Do we want to have any strangers here or any new people here? And of course, be careful, because new people can be just as wonderful as we are. And they can bring some lovely surprises here, like Astrid, remember? She was a lovely surprise. And who else did we have? We had many different people. And they're beautiful surprises, but you see what happens to them. because it was their first encounter, it was an overkill. And they went back to their world just like Marcello. You know Marcello? The grandson of Ellen? Marcello went back to Lugano and he went to his friends and he says, "I'm God, you know." And they said, "Oh, come off it, you know." And then he said to his grandma, How can I get them to understand that I'm God, I know what I'm doing and I am what I am?" And she had quite a time to explain, because that was his first time here on campus for a whole week. And he had private interpreter, just like Jerome is having, interpreting to him all of the information that was said. And he believed it and still believes it. But he forgot there's a time of practice. Before you can ride your bike, you practice a little bit. You have maybe someone holding on to it, like the week at the campus here was for him. And then you go riding it, and you still might have a few difficulties. But you ride it until you're professional, until you're good. And then everyone looks at you and says, "Oh, you can ride a bike." So it's the same thing with saying, "I am God." You practice it and practice it alone in your own heart. "I am God, God I am, I am God, God I am, I am God, God I am." And the more you say it, the more you inculcate it into your life, into your heart, the more you embellish it into your world, the more you impress it into your experience, and then you live it without talking about it. You live it without talking about it. Because only a teacher should be talking about it. Only a practitioner should be talking about it. Anybody else, it's better that they don't, because they haven't introduced anyone else to why they have this belief. And so we just live it. When you are able to live it, you won't have to talk it. When you are able to live what you believe about yourself, you won't have to tell anybody. Everybody will say, "Wow, what is it you believe? What is it?" "Oh, I just believe that everybody's good." "Oh, yeah, yeah, that's Pollyanna, that's great. But what do you really believe?" "Well, you got a lifetime, I'll share it with you." "You got a few minutes, I'll talk about it. And I'll give you my training program." But I have spent 20 years now with Merlin the Magician, and I didn't get this all overnight. It took me a little while to put this to work in my life. And even though I spent that long a time with Merlin, there's still many more things I didn't learn yet, because I was too pig-headed. Excuse me for the pig there, but kiss a pig. I was too belligerent and I was too obnoxious about it. And so Merlin couldn't teach me a lot of things because I wasn't ready to receive it. Now I'm ready to receive a lot, and I don't have Merlin. That, of course, is an illustration. You have attended the activities of the University of Healing here for some time. You are acquainted with it. You have your degrees from the University of Healing. You have your classwork completed. You have your coursework completed. You're ordained ministers of the University of Healing. Now you're practicing it. And you expect everybody you talk to have your instant awareness of what you have built up over these years. That's good. That's good. But really mean it. And when they doubt you, just act as though they really know. And when they say, "Oh, come on, now get off of it. We're not all God," don't jump down their throat. Just say, "Well, there is only God in this universe, and so therefore we must all be God. But aside from that, why do you think we shouldn't be God? Why do you think that we're not God?" And then they'll tell you. And you'll say, "That's interesting. But over here it says this, and over here it says this. What statement are we supposed to pay attention to?" You see, this is a big topic, a big area for us to consider. It's a big problem for us to not be confronted with, but to handle as with responsibility. Because when we handle that with responsibility, we will be able to say anything to anybody and know it. Now, in a previous discussion that we had, I suggested to someone that they refer to the Bible and refer to the biblical scriptures, especially the three that we mentioned in the syllabus. They said, well, I don't want to do that. I don't know the Bible well enough. I don't want to do that. I don't know the Bible. Hey, hush up. Don't ever say you don't know the Bible well enough. Say, I know the Bible well enough. Do you know that anything you say, the Bible said? Do you know that any conviction you have, pro or con, the Bible had that? Do you know that every unhappy expression of life the Bible has, and every happy expression that life has, the Bible has? Did you know that? You can say anything you want, and then research it, but you can say anything you want, and it does exist in the Bible. And that's why the concordance of a Bible is such a wonderful thing to have. Of course, you got to learn how to use that too. But the concordance gives you the key words of the various scriptures. And you just look up the key word like seek ye first, or seek, and first, and kingdom, and God, and Jesus, and my goodness, big long list of that. But then you're sort of ferreted down to just a few lines, maybe 100, which refer to that, which is a whole lot easier than looking through the whole Bible. And that tells you where in the Bible to find it, and then you check it out. Now, you all know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Okay? Seek ye first the king. It'll be under seek ye first. It'll be under seek. It'll be under first. It'll be under kingdom. It'll be of God. It'll be kingdom of God, and all things, and added unto you. See, these are all key words that are in there. In fact, the whole sentence is a key word, basically. And so that would bring you to that area of the Bible where it is. But another thing it would do, it would show you areas where it is said that is not so. Interesting, huh? It'll show you areas where it is contrary. Not always, but in many cases. And that is quite surprising. So if you do your homework, even in just one phrase, now and then, you'd be surprised. Now, let's say you don't have a concordance. You go into your own inner consciousness and you say, I know that I know that I know, and you will know. And the more you practice knowing that you know, you will know. It's quite exciting. It's quite beautiful. Yeah. I see you all doing this, having a great time. Right, Gertrude? Yeah, Gertrude says, I'm working on it. There is no longer a choice. There is only one way you can go. And that is to follow the divine within you. To follow that perfect power within you, that perfect awareness within you. Just one way to go. And when you follow that, what are you going to find? You're going to find the divine. You're going to find the purity. You're going to find the right action. As I take responsibility, I no longer feel empty. This is what happens to many people. They have an emptiness about them. They leave one church and go to another, and they have an emptiness. And then many people who come into the University of Healing Teachings, Church of God Unlimited, they're with us for a few years. And then all of a sudden, they start having an emptiness, and they want to look elsewhere. I make a statement that I think is very necessary, and I say, if you are a Catholic, be the best Catholic in the whole world. Know the teachings of the Catholic Church. Know the philosophy, and live them. Otherwise, be something else. If you're a Baptist, or a Buddhist, or any philosophy at all, Methodist, what have you, be the best. Know your philosophy. Know what it teaches. And maybe you'll get out of it. Or maybe you'll stay in it. Maybe you'll say, yes, yes, you didn't realize that it taught exactly what you believed. But know your philosophy. When you know your philosophy, you'll never feel empty. Because you will not adhere to a philosophy that does not make you feel full, that does not make you feel as though you have achieved something. This is very important. Are you ready to know your philosophy? Are you ready to be who you are? Are you ready to enjoy life? Are you ready to experience the allness that you are? You could. What would keep you from it? The only thing that would keep you from it is when you yourself don't believe in yourself. When you yourself think that you are doing something wrong. When you yourself think that the world is in a very tough state. Now, I mean that very seriously. If you ever think that your life is a bummer, if you ever think that your experiences are tough, if you ever think that you're getting the bad end of the stick, stop it right now. Because you're saying that something outside of you is in control of your life. Do you understand? Nothing outside of us is in control of our life. Only we are in control of our life. Only we are masters of our life. Only we are in charge. Now, you say, well, gee, that's interesting. Yes, it is. Only we are in charge of our life. If we ever say that anybody else is in charge of our life, we have given up responsibility. How do we take responsibility and say that we're in charge of our life? Well, it means organization. It means organization of our time, of our thought, of our world. When you come home from work at night, when you were working, what's the first thing you do? Do you prepare supper? Or do you take a few moments to balance yourself to be back in your home? Do you take a few moments and sit down quietly in the lotus position if you wish, or in any type of position, even lay down for a second, and say, I am peace. 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 Maybe say it for 20 seconds or longer. I am peace. Then you sit up, and if you're not already sitting up, and you say, I am the master of my world. All is in order in my world. I am the master of my world. All is in order. You say that for a little while. Then after you say that, then you just say, I surround this house with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. I surround this house with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. I surround this house with my pure white light of love. And you see, then you're in charge. You're surrounding it with your pure white light of love. And it is a lovely place. And then nobody is going to break a dish. Nobody is going to have a problem. Nobody is going to come there with anything other than harmony, love, peace, right action, and truth. And that's what you want. So, after 5 minutes of this, after 6 minutes, 7 minutes of this at the most, you get up and you're completely relaxed. You're not thinking about your household duties or the work duties or anything else. You just think, it's a wonderful day. Oh, everything is so great. I wonder what I'm going to have for supper tonight. Let's see. I have these choices. Oh, yes. Then you make yourself some supper. So, then you say, well, let's see what TV show I'll watch tonight. So you look at the TV guide and you say, I guess it's time for a little classical music. So you turn on the classical music. Another night you look at the TV guide and you see Discovery Channel, The Animals of Africa. Or you see another Discovery Channel and you see the way that New York City beautifies itself for its citizens. Interesting, huh? How its parks are and things like that. And then another time, you look at the Discovery Channel. You look at a channel that's filled with beautiful things. Although the Discovery Channel is not always filled with beautiful things. One show that Ray had on one time when I was there was killer bees coming over from Africa, being united with the bees of South America, Rio de Janeiro, in preparation for having tamer bees available to take care of the hives to make honey, you know, because honey was a big business. And someone accidentally let the killer bees out, and they went out into the jungle and proliferated amazingly, and they're working their way north. And that's not a joke. That's not a joke. Are the killer bees ever going to be around here? No. Are they going to be anywhere in America? Nope. Anywhere in the Caribbean? Nope. Anywhere in Central America? Nope. You want to go further? It's up to you. How great is your reach? How great is your ability to speak out? How great is it that you go to the map and you look at the countries and you say, yeah, you're free, you're free, you're free, you're free, you're free. And then as you say you're free, they're free. Now, does anyone else down there say they're free? No. They all say, ah, terrible. And you say they're free because you have a document in your heart. You have a gentleness in your heart. You have a desire in your heart to recognize the wholeness and purity and freedom. It's a wonderful thing, something that all of us could consider. It's not, you see, when we turn on the Discovery Channel, we say, oh, it's going to be good. We have to still be selective. When we turn on any channels on television, we have to be selective. We have to be selective what advertising is going to jump in our face. We don't need to have any of these things to overcome. Irene, what is the worst thing that can happen to a practitioner? To have the client, friend, say what their problem is. Right? The worst thing that can happen to a practitioner is for the practitioner to have to clear their consciousness of what the people think their problem is. The practitioner says, what is your solution? What is your result that you would like to have? How would you like to be? I am working with you on principle. I am working with you on what your choice is to be. Stefan, how long does it take you to clear your consciousness of hearing what somebody's problem is? You may say whatever you believe, Stefan, and that's okay. And if you want to say instantly, that's okay. That's good. Okay. You see, but the practitioner must do it instantly. If you stub your toe, you instantly say it's whole and perfect. If you have a problem, you instantly say it's whole and perfect. You do not let it fester. You do not let the client, the friend, come into your life and say, I have a problem. And my problem is such and so. You don't accept that. You may let them talk, but you have trained yourself to turn off your hearing aid so that you don't hear a word they say, and you pay no attention to it, but you give them very close attention. And when they stop talking and take a breath like that, you know they've finished dumping. And then you say, all right, now what is it you'd like to experience? And then they tell you what they'd like to experience, and it's easy as pie, easy as can be. But Irene, what is the thing that you don't want to hear?
The
problem. The problem. Gertrude, what don't you want to hear?
Problems.
Ellen, what don't you want to hear?
The problem.
Sylvia, what don't you want to hear?
Problem.
Anita, what don't you want to hear?
The problem.
John, what don't you want to hear?
I only want to hear the solution.
You don't want to hear the solution.
I only want to hear the solution.
You're an independent cuss, aren't you? Okay, you don't want to hear the problem, you want to hear the solution. Okay. Inga, what do you want to hear?
What I want to hear, what they want, what is their desire.
Their solution, right?
Yes.
Their desire. Okay. Of course, you got to be careful about their desire, because their desire may well be the problem, because they enjoy having the problem because they get attention. Yeah, that's why people have go to the hospital a lot of times. They get attention. Stefan, what don't you want to hear?
Problem.
Christina, what don't you want to hear?
Problems.
Jerome, what don't you want to hear?
Problems.
Right. He's 10 years old, and he knows he doesn't want to hear the problem. I tell you, we should all be so smart when we're 10 years old. We'll make it. One of these days, we'll be 10 years old. Wonderful, isn't it? Okay. As I take responsibility, I no longer feel empty. As I live in the truth about myself, I no longer feel empty. As I live in the awareness of who I am, I no longer feel empty. Are you ready for that type of an experience? If you ever tell me or anybody else that you feel empty, you're merely saying you have not been doing your homework. Really. If you ever tell me or anybody else that it doesn't work, you haven't been doing your homework. I had some builders working on the Hermitage, making things right the way I wanted them. And they said, well, we can't do that. I said, I'm paying you. Okay, we'll do it. You see, this is what it is. They say they can't do something, but then you can manipulate them with money. Now, why is it they say they can't do it? They want you to feel that it's a tough job. They want you to feel that it is a very difficult job to do. Now, we asked someone to put up a fence for us, and we said, do you know how to do it? If you don't know how to do it, we'll have somebody else do it, you know. Oh, yes, I know how to do it. Well, the fence has only been up for about 2 or 3 months, and it fell over. It fell right over. And the other part looks like it's going to go pretty soon. Now, it's true, the fence is in the rocks, but should not the fence in the rock be more stable than the fence in the ground? Should not the fence in the rock, drilled holes in the rock with a little concrete on, should not that be much more stable than a chunk of concrete put into the soft dirt? Yes. But you see, the person who put it up thought it was not going to be stable. And because he thought it was not going to be stable, it fulfilled his prophetic attitude about it. We make our own prophetic prophecies about what we are going to experience and how we're going to experience it. We say to ourselves, we're a failure, and we are. We say to ourselves, we're a success, and we are. We say to ourselves that we like what we're doing, and we do. We say to ourselves that everybody loves me, and they do. Now, in public, I say, do you love me? And you said yes. In private, I say, do you love me? And you say yes. Now, do you love me?
Yes.
The only answer that you could give is yes. Why?
Because I love me.
Because you love yourself. You are incompetently capable of not loving anybody else when you love yourself. And you also cannot love another person if you don't love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you don't know how to love somebody else. And that, of course, is the emptiest feeling of all. Now back to the person who belongs to the Catholic Church. Be the best Catholic you can be. Study the church policy, the church program, and do it well. If you're with the University of Healing, study it and practice it with all your heart, all your soul, and all your being. And you will be fulfilled. You will not feel empty in the slightest. If you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Buddhist, or whatever you are, be the best you can and enter into all of the teachings of whatever your faith may be and enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to be a University of Healing student, a God Unlimited student. You don't have to. You can follow this teaching wherever you are. Because wherever you are, you will bring yourself. And if this is what you believe, you will be like a wonderful fragrance. That's a good word for it. You'll be a wonderful fragrance to all the rest of the Buddhists, all the rest of the Methodists, all the rest of the Lutherans, all the rest of the Catholics. Wherever you are, you'll be a fragrance. You won't be a heresy. You won't be contrary to what they believe, but you'll be a fragrance that they will waft and enjoy and feel so happy about. It's a great experience. And it's an experience that you can have, and you can experience, and you can be right now. Free is full of responsibility. Before I knew me, I could do most anything. Now I understand who I am. I must be who I am. There is no longer a choice. There is only one way I can go. As I take responsibility, I no longer feel empty. Quite good stuff. Are we ready to follow it now? Are we ready to enjoy it now? Are we ready to be it now? That's our choice. I love you.